Blog Talk Radio.
Ajijic, Mexico, on the shores of beautiful Lake Chapala in Jalisco State. It's Music Scene Fronteras. I'm your host, Patrick O'Heffernan. This is your show. Our guests are here to talk with you. So call in 917-889-3068. And of course, that's a USA number. So if you're in Mexico, you have to dial the codes to get out of Mexico. Okay. All right. Or you can email us. You can email us at musicscenefronterasmx@gmail.com. Well, I want to welcome all of our listeners on the CyberStationUSA.com network and their radio affiliates and the Artistic Echoes Network in England and also the Canalside Network in the United Kingdom, as well, of course, as everybody here on Blog Talk Radio. If you have questions or comments for our guests, call us. 917-889-3068, and that, again, that's a USA number, or email us at musicscenefronterasmx@gmail.com. And if you're listening to us on a podcast or in England or wherever, you can still email us, and we can send your comments or questions to our guests, and they can answer them directly. Now, our guest today is a very renowned Mexican singer, and we're trying our best to get hold of her. It's always a little difficult when you're going to be talking to somebody in another country. So I tell you what, we're going to play a little bit of music now while we try to make the connection, okay? This is La Llorona and by Jaramar. Of course, if you're Mexican, or even if you're not, you recognize that piece of music. That's a famous ballad from the Mexican pantheon. And it's so famous that we want to hear it again. All right. We just talked to our guest, and we're having troubles getting her connected to the platform. But let me tell you about her a little bit. Our guest today is Jaramar Soto. And when I listen to her music, I simply have to stop what I'm doing and close my eyes. And that was Jaramar Soto you just heard singing. So, and I think she's now with us. So here we go. Jaramar.
Hello. Hello, Patrick.
Hello. Yay, we made it. Okay.
Yes,
well, that worked out very well.
Finally, I can't wait.
It's okay. Well, Armando, I was just about to introduce you to our audience, so let me do that, and then we can continue on from there. But I want to give them a little background on who you are, because we are talking to people in the United States and the United Kingdom. So here we go. So as I was saying before Audemars was able to connect here, when I listen to her music, I simply have to stop what I'm doing and close my eyes. She takes me and anyone who hears her on an adventure into sonic bliss. To me, she has the most beautiful voice in the world. She's a renowned Mexican singer, composer, and visual artist. She's performed in major theaters and festivals and in venues in Mexico. She's toured to sold-out audiences in North America and in Europe. She's recorded 15 solo albums, among them El Hilo Invisible, and I know I pronounced that wrong, and she's going to correct me in just a minute, right? For which she won the 2016 Latin Grammy for the best classical music album of that year. And that, with that, here she is. Welcome to Music Scene Fronteras, Audemars.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here speaking to you.
Well, I'm happy that you persevered and made it. First of all, estudio español, pero es no bien. So if I mispronounce things, feel free to correct me. And then I think I just mispronounced your album. You want to say it for us?
Can you repeat that?
The album, which translates in English into The Invisible String.
Oh, El Hilo Invisible.
Oh, that was close. Okay, all right. Okay. Well, you know, Audemars, when I read about your life and your talents, I'm amazed. Singing, composing, textiles, dance, and I see how you blend all these things together. I see the paint and the colors in Vieros en tu piel, the video. I see the dance with Karen de Luna Fours. Do you see each one of these videos and each one of these songs sort of as a finished piece in your mind before you even start to begin with them?
Let me tell you something. For me, the preparation of each album is like an adventure that I see as a whole, that I live as a whole. Each of my albums encompasses like a particular concept, a message, something that I want to explore. More than a message, it's like a journey in itself that I want to go in, that is going to take me someplace that I haven't been before. And so the reason that I put together a certain amount of songs is because of that particular thing that I want to explore in that project. So I don't think of them as albums, but as adventures, as a journey. And each one takes me to the next one. So the lyrics of each song have to tell me something, have to enable me. No, it's more than enable me to say something to the people who are listening to my music. And it's all, you know, the textures of the sound, the instruments that I choose for each album, what I'm talking about, everything has to be connected to my world at that particular moment that I'm living, that journey. And so the titles of my albums have to do with that. You know, I'm exploring songs that have traveled through the centuries that I have to bring to my world. To my musical world, they have to sound like me, and what I'm speaking when I sing or I'm saying, it has to be about me too, about something that I want to explore within me. So, even if I happen to compose the music of a particular album, it speaks about me. You know, it's like that. It's a journey, and through the 15 albums that I have recorded up to now. I have traveled a certain way that a road that has taken me to different stations in life, stations in a road of exploration of myself and of the world and of poetry and of feelings and colors and textures and images. I don't know if I'm making any sense.
Well, of course you're making sense. In fact, now I understand why, like I said in my introduction, you take me on an adventure of musical bliss, because it's an adventure for you too. I haven't seen you live on stage, and of course I'm going to next week here in IHEAT, but I've watched a lot of your videos. And one thing I notice, that you are often on stage barefoot. Is that because you're also a dancer and you want to feel the floor even if you're singing and not dancing? Or is some part of you just always dancing?
Well, I began as a dancer. I was going to be originally a dancer. I went to dance school. I was at 17. It was at 17 that I was in the dance career, studying a career to be a dancer. And because I come from a family of artists, so my mother was a dancer. My father was a creator of museums. Mm-hmm. And, well, at 17, I decided that I had to find my own way. And that music had been in my life, singing had been part of my life. I had been also studying singing, but I had never thought of myself as a singer. I was going to be a dancer. But at that moment, I decided that singing was closer to my world and that I could do something far more personal. But I have never been too far away from, you know, imagining my stage work without considering my whole body, the movement, the design of the stage. I have worked, even if I am not a singer, I have worked with dance companies for shows. I have invited dancers to participate in my shows. So whenever I'm imagining a particular album project, I am also imagining how it's going to look on stage. And I have, you know, presented my work in big stages, big theaters, in open-air shows, in plazas, you know, in the squares of Mexican towns, in public concerts, and also in very intimate settings. And it works, obviously. It's different. It sounds different. The feelings are different. But what is important is to connect to the audience and to transmit, to move them, to take them in this journey. So I use all those tools, everything that I have. I have worked with video artists for concerts too, to make them really visual, to create a space in which the music can exist.
Well, I think it's time that we gave our audience a little sample of the music.
I never answered the thing about being barefoot, but that's part of being a dancer.
Okay.
Whenever I can, I'm barefoot.
Okay. I kind of thought that. Well, I want our audience to have a little sample of the music, because this is radio and I can't show them one of the wonderful videos of you being barefoot on stage. So we're gonna play a little bit of Aido Karina. Here we go.
Yes. Thank you.
That's from your Latin Grammy winning album, El Hilo Invisible. And you recorded it with the Latin American Quartet. It's a popular song in Mexico, but my audiences in the U.S. and the U.K. may not know that song. So why don't you explain to us why you picked that song for this album?
Okay. You know, The Invisible Flood is a very particular project. A very important part of my repertoire has been the Sephardic songs of the Spanish Jews in the Middle Ages. I mean, the reason for that is that they are a very important part of Middle Age music, of early music. And I fell in love with these songs very, very early in my career. So I have worked at different moments singing Sephardic music. I mean, in very special arrangements with different kinds of instruments. And for The Invisible Thread, I decided to do something different. I wanted to work with the Latino Americano Quartet. This is an extraordinary ensemble. They are the most important classical music quartet in Mexico and probably in Latin America. They are really extraordinary musicians. And it was daring of me to ask them to participate in a project, but they were willing to. And what I wanted to do was take these Sephardic songs and arrange them in a very special way to put together my voice with a string quartet with contemporary arrangements, to give them a different sound, but conserving their exotic original nature. And so that's what made it so original. And we recorded it in Mexico City, in the historic center of the city, in a historic synagogue. So that was even more emotionally charged during the recording sessions. And I chose the songs according to my love for them. I really put together a collection of songs that I love very much, that I enjoy singing, and that I thought in these special arrangements for string quartet and voice, they were going to really shine. And the song that we just heard is one of the most famous one of the Sephardic traditions. One person once told me that this is the farewell from Spain of the Sephardic Jews when they were expelled in the 15th century from their country where they had lived for centuries. And this is the farewell, adiós querida, is goodbye my love. And so it was a song that I had never put in an album and that we thought came out quite well.
It's a beautiful song, and now I've heard your explanation, that leads me to another question. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but as I listen to your albums this week, I noticed that you seem to have a desire to explore the mystical, the sensuous passions of life and death and love, and also of old languages and linkages to present languages. Have you always had, am I right in that? And if so, have you always been kind of attracted to the mystical and the spiritual?
I suppose so. I'm drawn to this music because of its beauty, basically, because it appeals to my emotions, because it touches me. But I suppose there is this mystic part in me that desires to enter that world or to bring these musics to explore within me that mystic part of myself. I don't know. I have a very particular way of working. I am really rational and organized and, control things and like that. But there's that part of me that moves following my intuition, basically. So I go from one space to the other, And whenever I sing, whenever I'm on stage, the emotional, intuitive part of me takes hold. And I don't think why I'm doing that. I just let it take me to some place. And I always think that the audience is going to be touched in their own way. They are going to connect to my music, probably not in the same way that I connect to the songs, but in their own way, and that's what is really important. But it's true, I have been linked to groups like Death Can Dance, for example, that has, you know, a very strong mystical side in their music. And, well, I think that my Mexican heritage, what he was saying about light, love, death, the great symbolism in ancient Mexican cultures is very present in my approach to art in general and to music.
And it's apparent, too, as one listens to all of your albums and your career, that's very apparent. I want to remind our listeners that we are talking with Aramar Soto, and you can talk with her, too. You can call us at 917-889-3068, or you can email us. And since a lot of you have already been emailing us, why don't we just go right to the emails and ask a few of these questions? The first email is from Molly in San Diego, and Molly wants to know, when is your next tour of the U.S., and will San Diego be on it? We're right next to Mexico.
Well, I don't know about my next tour to the U.S. I'm just hoping that it comes soon. But what I would tell people in general is to go into my website, into my social networks, and because that's where I usually speak to the audience, to the people, to whoever wants to know about my music, to look me up in Facebook and Instagram, and that's where I tell what things that are going. We are planning to go to the U.S. with The Invisible Threat, El Cuarteto Latinoamericano, and me to play it live there. But we don't know when this will happen, and to go to Europe, to go back to Europe. But we are just, you know, waiting for the dates to land, to be confirmed. But there is a lot of material of my music in YouTube, for example, many live videos and video clips that I'm sure that people will enjoy. And something that I want to tell you, Patrick, before we finish this conversation, is that about 2 years ago, I did something very daring of me that took me years to do, which is to sing jazz. I started this band to sing something that I love, that I had sung privately for years, that took me, you know, courage to do in public. And so I started Free Fall, Caída Libre, this trio with guitar, double bass, and voice, to sing standards, Gershwin, Thelonious Monk, and these songs that really are so wonderful to sing. And so there's an album there, and there are video clips too, so people can look them up and really give their opinion as to if it's worthwhile for me to have gone into that world.
Okay. Well, Molly, there's your answer. You need to follow all of her social media. Maria Elena in Los Angeles wants to know, does it take special training to be able to dance and sing at the same time? It seems like the breathing must be very hard.
I can't really dance. I move. And well, I'm trained for that, yes. But it's basically the training of the voice, the breathing, and the strength that you have to support and to keep the voice up there. I don't dance like, I mean, Madonna and singing like that. I don't jump up and down, but I move on the stage. For me, movement, a presence, stage presence is, you know, basic. And I do give workshops for that. I work with singers and actors on stage movement and expression to get a good voice. So I suppose that I do, that I have to have training for that.
Okay, we have a question here from Mexico. This is Sebastian in Mexico City. And Sebastian says, I will ask in English since the program is English, is the bolero and the ballad still popular today as my parents' time?
Oh, I didn't get the question. Can you repeat it, please?
I think he's asking if the bolero and songs of love in general in Mexico are still as popular with his generation, which I take it as kind of as millennial, as they were with his parents' generation.
They're still popular with the new generation, basically, right?
Okay. So,
is that the question, more or less?
Yeah, that's the question, more or less. Yes.
Yes. With the millennials and all that. I have been immensely surprised at the wide range of ages that my audiences go to.
Mm-hmm.
There was a concert, I'm going to tell you really fast. There was a concert in Mexico City at the Teatro de la Ciudad, the Mexico City Theater. It was an important concert because it was an anniversary concert of my first album, which is a music of love and the that from the Middle Ages, 15th century, Sephardic, and all that. And we had a meet and greet at the end of the concert. By invitation, we made a contest in my Facebook, and people had to answer a few questions, and so they gained access to this meet and greet. And I really talked to the people there, and I found that the people who had won, the entrance ticket, ranged from 18 years old, 40-something, they knew all of my albums. I was really amazed at the 19-year-old, or several, who were really fans of heavy metal and rock music, and me. they were all different. They had found my music. They had fallen in love with my music in different ways. And it was really amazing because, my first album was 20 years old, and there was a 19-year-old guy who loved it, who knew it, who knew all my albums, who had seen me live on stage many times, and who was a heavy metal fan.
Doesn't surprise me.
I really discovered that music has no frontiers. Even if they don't understand what I'm singing, because sometimes I sing in different types of languages.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if the emotion is there.
As I was saying, that doesn't surprise me. I've interviewed many heavy metal bands, and a surprising number of heavy metal singers begin as opera-trained singers. And they've In the process of studying opera, of course, they've learned about opera and the traditions, etc. They do shift over into the heavy metal world, but there's a lot of crossovers there. So that doesn't surprise me at all. And I'm glad to hear that. I want to play another sample of your music for our audience, since we're talking about it. I want to play Ando Alero. And we'll just play a few minutes of it. Here it comes.
Que la llevaba
I love to listen to that. I've been listening to it all week. And I know it's a poem by Federico Garcia Lorca, but you kind of rearranged the lines for musical impact, and you really turned that chorus into a hook. In your hands, the words become an earworm, made even stronger by all those little electronic details that you put in there and the click rhythm, et cetera.
Yeah.
Did you kind of supervise the production of that?
Totally. So I'm there from the beginning to the end, all the time. My producers are very close to me, and we work together all the time. I choose the music. I choose what each album is going to be about. I work with the arrangements. When they are my own compositions, I make, first drafts of the songs, and I work with the arrangers. We talk a lot, not only about the music, but about the whole color of the album. And yes, with my producers, I'm there all the time. We work really closely. I work with if it's not my own illustration that is going to be in the cover of the album, the art of the album, I work with the designer, everything. No, yes, I'm there all the time. I'm a control freak, I told you.
Okay, well, it seems to work out very well. And along while you were talking, we got an email in from one of our audience with an apropos question. And the question is, do you play any instruments besides your voice?
Well, at the beginning, I used to play guitar in country. When I was starting, that was not really professional. When I was singing in cafes and, little spaces, small festivals and things like that when I was really young. And pretty soon I found musicians who played guitar a lot better than me, so I never played it again on stage. But I work with instruments. Whenever I write music, I play with the piano. I work with the piano and the keyboard. That's how I write the songs. I look at the melody, the chords, and that. I don't do it on stage. I'm thinking of doing it eventually, a little bit.
Interesting.
My musicians, my band, they are insisting that I do it eventually a little bit on stage because it adds to the,
Interesting.
Yeah, I work with such great musicians that I'm embarrassed to play something beside them.
Okay. Well, I want to thank Erica in Vancouver for that question, because I learned something. We all learned something that we didn't know before. Well, we are just about out of time, but I can't let you go until I ask you about a book. I think, if I'm not mistaken, you have a book out of sketches. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. I'm really ambitious sometimes in some projects, and so project was a stage project, an album, and also a book, because stage production with a story to it that I wrote. I wrote the story to it, like a screenplay. To develop the story on stage. It's very visual. It's my most personal project up to date because I painted a series of paintings that were used to create the multimedia projections. It's about dreams. Every song is about a different dream. And so my book tells the story, and it's illustrated by me and has pictures of photographs of the stage show and of how we worked to put it on stage. So yes, it's my dreams book.
Which is why it's called Sueños. Is it available anywhere? Can people get a copy of it?
Well, there's an app that goes with it, that is available everywhere, and you can download. But the book mill was distributed very independently in bookstores, basically in Mexico City and Guadalajara.
Okay. All right. Well, for my listeners in Mexico City, and we know we have some because we got an email from Mexico City, take a look in the bookstores. You have an album in the works. Are you ready to tell us a little about it, or do we just have to hold our breath until it's ready to be released? I understand you have an album in the works. Can you tell us anything about it that you...
Yeah, I have several. I work in several projects simultaneously. Yes, I am preparing an album with a Jalisco Philharmonic Orchestra arrangements. That's really amazing of me. Special arrangements to present our songs with an orchestra. That's in pre-production. And also an album of original songs that have as a theme, as a concept, memory, the memory. I don't know what it's going to come out as. I'm working on that, and they are, you know, really early right now in the production, so I can't tell people any more about that.
Okay, well, when they are ready, please let us know, because we would like to let our audience know about them. Well, that is it. We are out of time, and I want to thank you very much for taking the time, and I know you're sitting there in a car on a cell phone, so I especially appreciate that. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you very much, Patrick. And I want to thank your audience for their patience and interest, and invite them to visit on my social media sites.
Yes, I should tell everybody that you do have concerts coming up, and one this next Saturday on the 15th. And people should go to your social media, your Facebook page, your Instagram, your Twitter stream, and they can find out where you're going to be and also where they can get your music. And your music, of course, is on all platforms. And also, I should remind the Latina Divas fans that they can also find you on two of their albums. So
yes.
So you're all over there. We shouldn't have any trouble finding you. And I'm looking forward to seeing you here in Ajijic next week. So thanks. Thanks again for joining us.
No, thank you, Patrick.
Jaramar, you should stream her on Spotify, buy her music on most online platforms, follow her Facebook, Twitter, and especially her Instagram. It's very interesting. Well, you've been listening to Music Sin Fronteras with Patrick O'Heffernan from the CyberStation USA Network, the Blog Talk Radio USA Network, our radio affiliates in the United Kingdom. Like our Facebook page, follow our Twitter feeds, and you'll get real-time updates on our guests. Our producer is Lars Christensen. Our program director is Jason Bartleben. Download this and other Music Sin Fronteras programs at blogtalkradio.com, or, of course, we're on iTunes, too. Tune in next week. We're going to be talking with another great artist from one side of the border or the other. Actually, this one's going to be on just north of the border. We're negotiating with Maria Rose to see if we can get her and us together at the same time. But if we line up our schedules, you're really going to love it. So tune in next week, follow our Twitter stream, and we'll give you details on how that's going. In the meantime, have a great musical weekend. Tener un gran fin de semana musical. And we're going to leave you with a little bit more of this wonderful music. Yeah. Of course, that was La Llorona by our guest today, Aramar. And you should follow her Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram, and find out when the next concert is. I know there's one coming up next Saturday in Guadalajara. We got to run. We'll see you next week.